We're in a continual lesson, the title being, We Must Endure Exhortation. Again, if sound teaching and exhortation is not available due to church groups teaching false doctrine and so forth, then we as individual Christians must labor in the Word and prayer more often. God will give more grace. The Old Testament scripture said, when the enemy comes in like a flood or an army, the Lord will raise up a standard or a wall against him. So this is not an option, but a necessity to pursue the things of God alone if the lampstands are removed. See, many people are reading the epistles of Paul as if the gospel has just been given and the harvest is white and the laborers are few, but we're at the other end if we understand the teaching and the times we live in, where the darkness is going to prevail, there's going to be a falling away, there's going to be great deception, we're going to be in a time spiritually, Jesus himself said, as the time of Noah, as the time of Lot. So during this time, instead of there being this great movement to establish churches, the very few that's true are going to be falling away and being deceived. So the individual Christian will have to act differently. If he cannot gather with proper saints, then he's going to have to labor in the Word. We do apparently have some advantages that even the early church did not have. We do have the complete scripture or canon. We have scripture. Remember the book of Revelation, the epistles of John, that even Paul and Peter did not have them. They were written 15, 20 years after they were put to death. So again, we have the written word of God, and we do have the Spirit, so we can receive grace when the normal structure does not work properly because people are not obeying the Lord. So if there is no lampstand, if there is no spiritual valid church or gathering, then the individual salt, the individual branch will have to revert to what is necessary. See, people will quote scripture, but again, when scripture is not applied or heeded, then you cannot have a proper functioning church. These elders and pastors and deacons, they are false. Therefore, we cannot even consider them the body of Christ. See, in the beginning, it was totally different. They were formulating churches. They had problems even then with the wolves and the false, but they were willing and they were intelligent enough spiritually that even the apostles and pastors knew how to handle them, and they removed them. But see, again, we've gotten into such dark times that even under the Old Testament, when the priestly function failed, when the priests became idolatrous and covetous and greedy, when they ceased teaching the law of God, then the Lord reverted to the prophets to warn the people and often to judge the system because it no longer was valid. And so we have to, again, be able to discern the times we live in and evaluate properly where we're at. So if there are no sound fellowships, then us and we and you as individual Christians, if we feel or we cannot associate with false groups, then we better labor in the Word more often and more seriously than we ever did. Because again, these ministries, when they were working properly, were extra graces and insight that the Lord gives and He intends. And it made it easier. It made it better when these ministries are functioning. But if they're not, it still will not excuse the individual from their duty to God, even when the lampstand or the functioning of a local church is not there anymore. This is what we have to understand. So again, this is why I tell people and myself, if you are not in a gathering because of the proper reason, they're false, and they're not putting up with sound teaching, then you better be laboring in word and prayer more than you ever did because you're going to need it. And again, God will give grace to keep us, that no one will take our crown, that we do not have to fall. As the psalmist said, though 1,000 fall at my left hand and 10,000 fall at my right, it shall not come near our dwelling because we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So again, that's the advantage we have in the new covenant, that we still can maintain the Holy Spirit living in us as an individual when all around us is failing. When the lampstand, when the light on the hill, the so-called local church, is gone and not functioning, then it's left to the individual candles to burn and do what they can. Again, it's almost as if the scripture said, you have a little strength. Strengthen that which remains. If everything else around is failing and falling, then you are to hold on regardless of what's going on around you. So again, this is not an option, but a necessity to pursue the things of God alone if the lampstands are not available. Again, before we go on, we do have another advantage they did not have then, though they seem to live better lives than we do. We do have some teachers and books and things that are available, like the preaching and teaching in the churches. Most of it is mixed and false, but we have availability to listen to some sermons and some teachings if we pursue and look for them. We will find there were writers in the past, even in the last century or two, that had good teachings. And again, we should avail ourselves of them if we do not have it in our presence. And we'll be held accountable for this. Now back to we must endure exhortation. Again, this word endure, it means to bear with or to put up with. It also means we are to tolerate sound teaching in the Word of God. See, that implies there is a conflict in this. As the apostle warned, the many fallen away, they will not endure, tolerate, or put up with sound teaching. Remember, sound teaching or doctrine always referred to the teachings of the apostles and Christ that led to obedience and holy living, practical holiness. See, most of the teachings today do not lead to this. They excuse or license sin. They do not reprove and correct it and warn the people of the consequences of these sins. So by not enduring sound teaching or sound exhortation, they will be turned to believe lies. This is the ones who refuse to endure it. And they will be lost if they turn their ears toward liars. To resist the spirit of grace and truth is to open oneself to lying spirits and have one's spiritual senses calloused and hardened to the truth. Now, this often happens when one hears what one likes instead of one that hears what one needs spiritually. See, when you leave it to the individual to make a choice, the individual natural man, the individual Christian without spiritual insight, and the novice and the babe, they're no different than children. If you leave it to them, they'll eat candy all day long, and they won't eat anything healthy, and it will poison them. So again, the Christian has to say, I want the truth. He doesn't sit there and say, do I like it or not like it? Or is it something that is irrelevant? And once the person says, and you'll hear it over and over again, well, I go to this church because I like the music. Or I go to this church because the pastor's so nice to me and he's always so friendly. See, all of these reasons have nothing to do with spirituality. They have to do with personal self-preference, which is of this world and has nothing to do with spiritual things. See, they pick and choose, and they do it from the false, corrupt nature that's in them. And therefore, they can only reap destruction by doing this, because there's no spiritual value in the reasons that they are seeking these things. We should seek the truth because it is the truth, because it is the Word of God, and because it is not going to be compromised by God. And when God stands at judgment, our opinions and our choices, personal preference, will not mean zilch. And when he judges people, he will not judge them by their opinions and their feelings and their moods. He already said it will be the Word that will judge them, and that is what will endure forever, not an individual's opinion. It is irrelevant to God. See, but again, that's what happens when people have no spiritual insight. They speak out of their own mind. They think out of their own mind, and yet the scripture says it's corrupt. It has no spiritual enlightenment whatsoever. So the apostle admonishes the Hebrews and us to endure the word of exhortation, put up with it, tolerate it. Again, he replies, it's not always easy. If one will not endure sound teaching and sound exhortation, one cannot endure spiritual welfare and will make shipwreck of their Christianity and be lost eternally. That's a hard word. That's a hard saying. And people don't want to hear that. But I'm sure there's a multitude of people in hell who wish they had an opportunity to start over, because that's why they're weeping and gnashing their teeth when they see how wicked and foolish they were and how they hardened themselves to the Spirit of God and to His Word and the consequences of that. And their opinions and their feelings and their moods in hell don't move anything and doesn't change anything. So now, in general, if there are church groups or home gatherings or fellowships that are near us and they are teaching and preaching sound scripture, then we should be willing to gather with them to contribute and be contributed to. Again, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Now let us consider how to stimulate, to stir up. See, this is again what exhortation does. We could actually say, let us consider how to exhort one another to love and good deeds or good works. What is he saying here? That the purpose of doing this, of exhorting one another, is for what? Practical Christianity, to love God and your neighbor as yourself, and also good works, good deeds, practical holiness. This is what he's talking about. This is the reason for the exhortation. See, for without this, without this understanding of love and good works, a person will not make it into the kingdom of God. A person will be steeped in false Christianity that will lead to destruction. And he says in verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching, the evil day. The dark day is what he's talking about. And again, remember the time they were in. He was saying there were some that were not assembling simply for personal reasons, or they were too busy, or they caught up in the cares of this life. They didn't want to gather with other Christians because it would require responsibility of them. They would have to minister and be ministered to, and they didn't want this, which alone should have revealed something was wrong with their spiritual life. That was why some were on the verge of backsliding. And so again, he was saying that we should not. See, again, we're going to see the only reason not to assemble is we're not to assemble with false people, false Christians, false churches. Then there is a reason not to do this. So the reason to gather again is to consider other Christians, to stir up love and good works. This is a main purpose, again, of exhortation and teaching. It also states it is more needed as that day approaches. What day? The day of the Lord. For just before the Lord returns in his second coming, remember the scripture says, as Paul tells us, that there will be a falling away from the church, from the faith. There will be a backsliding from the true faith, and many false teachers and prophets will arise, Peter said, promoting what? A license to sin, a false grace and covetousness, teachings to pamper the self-life, the worldly life of a person. But who is he talking to? He's talking to those who were once Christians, that they're going to fall away. And those who gather and promote false teaching. He's not directing this statement to the world. He's directing it to those who profess to be Christians. Okay? And on top of all of this, there will be every new age and liberal view of scripture that will beat the word of God, the sword of the spirit, into a silver spoon of self-indulgence and pleasure. See, this is much of the teaching today. You've heard it. I've heard it. You hear it everywhere. Judge not. Let's just love one another. God wants me happy. And God wants me healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. And God knows I'm a sinner and nobody's perfect. So we just trust in Jesus and we're all forgiven, so that's the only difference between us and the world. All of these teachings are doctrines of demons. There's no other word for it in Scripture, because you do not find these statements propagated by Jesus Christ nor the apostles, and you never would. So that alone should tell people they are not speaking sound teaching, and they're not speaking what the foundation of Christianity says to people, has always said, and will always say if people are listening to the truth. So it is spiritually better to meet with a few individual Christians, and if you can't do that, to be alone rather than support false groups that proclaim false doctrines. Because there's something deadly about that. See, many people, they may go to these church meetings and then they will justify themselves and say, well, I don't live that way. Yes, but you support it. Your presence, your money, and your silence says to you that you're a coward and you support false doctrine. Now, if you want to go into those churches, if you want to take the chance and take a stand, well, be willing to be thrown out, because that's what's going to happen to you. Or you're going to be asked to leave, or people are going to separate from you because they do not want the truth. And once a organized group, once a gathering has established by its leadership that it does not want the truth, you do not find any scripture by the apostles or Jesus telling them to go in there and irritate them. Actually, you find Jesus saying what? He said, leave them alone. You did not find Jesus purposely going in to areas and antagonizing the establishment outside of what was his right as a prophet and a priest. But at the same, you did not find this in the new covenant. And see, again, so if people are going to sit under that, then you shall be a partaker of their sins. Your very presence and your silence gives your approval. And God will hold the person accountable for that. So I'm saying we better know what false doctrine is, and we better not be supporting it. Again, because these people proclaiming this, they are not true lampstands. You cannot call them a church. Let me say it again if you have no understanding. No denomination, no organized group, when its leadership, its pastor, and its elders are promoting and sustaining and encouraging false doctrine, they are not the church of Jesus Christ. They are a church of the devil. And there is no lampstand there because his presence is no longer there. So when you deal with these people, you do not deal with them as Paul encouraged Timothy and others how to correct, even with the Corinthians. See, they had different problems, but it wasn't the ones he's talking about. He didn't tolerate these gross false doctrines that led people to destruction. These people were removed or thrown out. They were not permitted. But today they rule everything because of the dark times we're in. They are false hirelings. Anyone that will not teach sound teaching of God's word, will not encourage good exhortation, who is afraid of his flock, is interested more in making money and having numbers, he is a false hireling. He is not called. And if he ever was, he lost his call and he's a reprobate. He's gone back to the world, and instead of being a shepherd, he has become a wolf. Even in his silence, he has become a wolf. See, the scripture says the fearful and unbelieving will be cast into the lake of fire. So when people profess to be Christians, and they sit under this, and even some that know it's wrong and tolerate it, they will partake of the sins that go on there. It's very simple. And so that's the reason, too, we have to withdraw and separate. This is not encouraged today. This is considered being divisive, but this is the kind of divisiveness that the scripture encourages. What fellowship hath light with darkness? And it was a rhetorical question that Paul asked, and the answer is none. There can be no spiritual compromise with false teachings and false churches. You will be dragged down to them. You will not enlighten them. This is why, again, you never found Paul or the apostles going into any false temple, any false religion, and trying to enlighten them. Once the leadership and the established people did this, the thing was leave them alone, because God has left them alone. They're in the depths of Satan. They were told to deal with the individual, not the organization. They were told to leave it alone. This is what Paul meant when he said, don't be a busybody in other people's affairs. He said, what do we have of judging those outside? They're considered outside the covenant. He said, let God handle them when he's ready. We will deal with those inside the true body of Christ. And it has not changed. Furthermore, we are encouraged, exhorted, that's what the word means, in scripture to do what? To separate from people, churches, and institutions who do not teach and preach sound scripture. That is, who do not encourage practical holiness and obedience to the Lord. Because again, that's the only true fruit and true works that confirms there's real Christianity in action. You are better alone with truth than being partakers of a wicked, false, professing Christianity that will lead its followers to hell. I mean, that's the statement. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Well, we'll read real quickly these verses, but not elaborate on them. Chapter 3, 1. But realize that in the last days, difficult, uneasy times, dangerous times, this is what it means, will come. For men will be lovers of self. Notice the first thing he says, lovers of self. Lovers of money. This is coveting. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, irreconcilable. See, that's why we can't have nothing to do with any of these people. You cannot reconcile with the devil. He has to be cast out. You do not compromise with him. Haters of good. Now, I want you to listen to some of these words. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. That goes right back up to verse 2, lovers of self. They're caught up in this world. They're caught up in entertainment. They're caught up in pleasing themselves and being happy. See, they're seeking this. And we look at that and say, well, that's just the way it is. But you forget one thing here. I don't want you to forget one thing here. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And his answer to all of this is avoid such men as these. Who is he talking to? See, people forget, is he talking about the world here? These are church-going, professing Christians he is referring to. He is not talking to the world. Now when you go up and read that, you think, that is terrible, isn't it? He's saying that these people who gather together as Christians are lovers of self, arrogant, disobedient, unholy, irreconcilable. You know what it means? It means when you go into these gatherings that call themselves Christians and you try to instruct them and give them light, they want you out. Well, they say, oh, we don't like that negative word. We only want stuff that makes us feel good. Doesn't that speak so great? But what was Paul's answer? What does the true Christian do with these people? Did he say just love them and smile and God just forgives them and just smile and be a light? No, he didn't say that. Avoid such men as these. Well, people just don't obey scripture, do they? Because they want to be liked. But what does it say? Avoid such. You know, avoid such because they deny the power of Christ in their life to live a practical, holy life, a life of self-denying and the cross life. What again is his exhortation to them? Exhortation? Avoid such men as these. Does this make it any less plain? How come you don't find the teachers teaching this? Now what you find today is endure it. Tolerate it. Put up with it. The very opposite. See, they're saying put up with wickedness, evil, but they won't put up with the Word of God. It's too narrow. It's too straight. You know, it's too negative. You know, it's too hard. But who is propagating this? Professing false Christians. And what kind of people are they? Are they holy? Are they bound to the Word of God? Well, he already told you what they're like. They're just like the world. They're no different than the world. And they're not saved. But they say, Lord, Lord. See? It hasn't changed much, has it? This is the rule. He has established, this is a command. This is not an option. And you think, oh, I guess I have an option in the matter. No, this is a command. How much is a command is thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. And what is the command? Avoid such people. What is such people? Well, see, Paul told us before, if anyone claims to be a brother in the Lord and he's greedy and covetousness, this is the ultra-prosperity doctrine, if he's a greasy gracer, he's living in sin and claiming that God's grace is covering him, if he's a thief, a liar, if he lives like the world and loves the world and the things of the world, what did Paul say? Paul said you are not to even eat with such a person. Interesting. He said that you could eat with an unbeliever, that you could eat dinner with them and gather with them sometime in social issues where necessary, in government to render custom to custom. But he said, for anyone who claims to be a brother, who lives this way, and this is a part of the same list, He says, you're not to eat with them. It means you have nothing to do with them. You're to treat them, in a sense, worse than you would the sinner. Because they're supposed to be Christians. They're supposed to be holy, and they're a reproach to true Christianity, and God despises what they're doing. And he will eventually despise them. We will find the scripture says he will take no pleasure in them. And so again, that's the word of God. So again, this is a command, avoid such. So again, I'll tell people, if you want to go to these churches as a guest and you want to do something, you can't go passively. You're going to have to be ready to be a light. And if you do this, you're going to have to be ready to be thrown out or someone to attack you. But you just can't sit there quietly and pretend, oh, I'll just love them, because you're a disobedient and a wicked soul if you do this. God considers you a coward, and he considers you wicked, because you tolerate it and you misrepresent him. It makes it very plain. See, people don't like that. Okay, so this is the rule, is not to assemble or gather with these kind of people. And this isn't the first time Paul, again, has mentioned this, how to handle these people. And here's some strong words again for these people. Go over to Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, even if we, referring to the apostles, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. And we have said so before, and so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. This is only about one of two to three times at the most that Paul ever repeats himself back to back. And this is one of them. And what does he say? We came and taught the gospel to you. Peter did. John, I did. And if I come back later and tell you this is not the gospel anymore, then I should be accursed. He said if an angel comes down in front of you and says something different, he said he should be accursed. Well, isn't it interesting that Mormonism and Spiritism and many other isms and Catholicism and all of them, they claim much of their doctrine on angels and revelations and Mary and saints, and Paul's word is the same here, that they're to be accursed. Because they come propagating the exact opposite of what the word of God said. They do not confirm the truth, they alter it. And therefore, they are a messenger of Satan. And what was Paul's attitude? He is to be accursed. Again, one of the translations, allow them to be accursed. It means do not stand in their way. Do not try to help them. That's what it means. See, it's the same. He says, oh, that's so unloving. No, we're talking about people who persist in demonic teachings and who would not take instructions and not take warning. Even Jesus said what to the disciples? About the Pharisees doing this. Jesus said, leave them alone. He didn't say try to instruct them or enlighten them anymore. Leave them alone, he said. For if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. There's a time you separate and have nothing to do with them. That is the judgment of God on them. What is he saying? That God is saying, I have nothing to do with them. Until they come out from among them, until they repent, have no dealings with them. That was the purpose of throwing the fornicator out of the Corinthian church. It says, have no fellowship with that wicked person. That's what Paul called it. Never is a Christian ever called a wicked person. It means he was a Christian no longer. And he did repent and come back. And the purpose was, we have nothing to do with you. We are simply revealing to you what the Holy Spirit has told us, that he has nothing to do with you. It was very simple. He has cut you off and cast you aside. And says, perhaps you'll come to your senses. And like Paul said, and perhaps God will give you the gift of repentance again, but he'll only give it if the person's seeking and willing to confess his sin and turn from it. So again, these are strong, hard words that people do not like listening to. But if you do not listen to this, you will be deceived. And you will gather, and you will promote falseness, and you will wonder why when you stand at the day of judgment and say, Lord, Lord, that God says, I don't know you either. Because you supported false doctrine. You didn't correct it. You didn't separate from it. So you encouraged it. Therefore, I will judge you with them as I judged you. Didn't Paul say in Romans? He said, don't do these things. He named these sins. He says, and don't be partakers with the sons of disobedience. Partakers of what? He said, the judgment of God. He said, if you are children of God and you begin to act like the world, God will consider you like the world and he will put the same judgment on you. So that's what Paul told the Jews in Romans. You who know the law And you say, thou shalt not commit adultery, and you shall not fornicate, and murder, and steal. He says, but do you do these things? It was almost like, yeah, you know the law. And yet the apostle said, do you think you will escape the judgment of God? It was a rhetorical question. And it was, no, you will not escape the judgment of God. Okay, so the apostle says such ministries of deception are accursed of God. Now, in the early church, remember, in Paul's time, he commanded gross sinning, unrepentant souls to be put out of the fellowship, and he called them wicked people. Again, this is not done today or rarely. Thus, false teaching and gross sinners rule the false churches. See? Again, they're bringing a little democracy with it, too. And then they say, well, we locally vote, and we make the decisions, and we change the rules, and the majority of people voting are ignorant. They're either spiritually dead or novices. They have no spiritual understanding of anything. They have no business voting on anything. See, just because you mix the American system with it doesn't mean God's changed his view. Well, then, like I say, there are so few real Christian gatherings that as a whole, we look at this whole religious system today called Christianity that's full of false pastors, teachers, and elders, and they are corrupt is what they are. It is actually just like the Jewish system of Christ's time. They drove out the sincere Jews and promoted their schemes of greed and robbery and political power bases. Remember, Jesus said that those that were seeking to come, he told the Jews, you put heavy burdens on them and prevented them from entering the kingdom. That was a mild thing he said to him. And then he said, and then you laid aside the word of God for your own traditions. Again, he asked the rhetorical question, can they or can you escape the damnation of hell? And the answer was, no, you cannot. Anyone who lays aside the word of God is accursed by God. That is the teaching of the whole of Scripture. So Jesus said, as it applies to us now, the time will come when they will cast your name out as evil and even kill you, thinking they do God a favor. They will be very religious. The light that they have, the truth that they have, is darkness and sinful, so they are deceived and blinded by Satan, and they resist and fight against the truth of God's word to their own destruction. This is what the Apostle Peter said. These are religious people. These are professing Christians we're talking about. We have to be plain on this. Jude 3. And again, because there's only one chapter there, we can simply say Jude 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith or the Christianity which was once for all handed down to the saints. And then he talks about ungodly men creeping in, turning the grace of God to sinful pleasures. He said, we have to contend for this. This was before the first generations of Christians had died. That the apostle or the half-brother of Jesus, this is the brother of James, was saying, you know, the original Christianity that was given to us through Jesus Christ and the apostle, that's what we're having to contend with because the demonic forces are trying to alter it. Well, they haven't stopped for 2,000 years, have they? They're still trying to do this. So Jude, he exhorts, encourages Christians could contend, fight for the true faith, sound teaching, and holy living that was given to us by Christ and the apostle. See, all of these modern-day teachings, they don't refer to apostolic teaching. They refer to humanism, social graces. They refer to what they call common sense, which is human reasoning. Paul called it vain philosophy. It has no spiritual value to it. Again, that's why. They rule as by the world's thinking. They are of the world, and they're inspired of the devil, and most of them are deceived, and they don't know what they're doing. So then we as individuals and small groups, if we can, we are to exhort each other in sound Christian teaching. And what is sound Christian teaching? It leads to obedience to Christ, practical obedience, and to holy living. That's how it's summed up. That's what's at the foundation. Well, if you look around today, you will find that it's not done because most of the teaching encourages sin, excuses sin, minimizes sin, does away with judgment, does away with God being angry, does away with wrath or consequences. How often do you hear this out there? You're not going to hear it because it's false. It's not the truth of God's word. But it's easy and acceptable, and people like it, and it's smooth and it's sweet. But again, it's going to be bitter to their stomach, ultimately. It's going to be bitter to them when they reap the consequences of this false form of Christianity. So if we do not exhort one another or labor more intently in Scripture, then one can easily be deceived by sin and become hardened to the Spirit's dealings. And Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, this warns us of this. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Take warning, brethren. Take care, brethren. Be exhorted, brethren, is what he means here. Okay? So he's saying there's a danger. He would not say take warning. That there be not in any of you a evil, unbelieving heart, and this guy's going to change it with a disobedient heart, that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Notice why we're to exhort, because what is going to happen in the darker times, sin is deceiving people, and we're to warn each other about this. Again, I've seen and taught those over the years, and not a few are now backslidden in false teachings, and they're in churches justifying their shallow, self-seeking forms of religion, thinking they are still Christians. But like the Laodiceans, as Jesus told them, you do not know that you are now blind, for sin has hardened them to the truth of God's word. So what is the warning here? You know, if you entertain the world, if you entertain an evil heart, this sin's going to do something to you. It's going to poison, and you're going to start to think differently. And most of these people that are deceived, like the Laodiceans, they believe they're Christians. They still go to church. They still believe they're Christians because the sin has lied to them, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, and be rejected by God. Okay, so what's happened? We must endure or put up with sound teaching and endure exhortation, for otherwise, the consequence, it will be easier and easier to drift away and feeling that, oh, well, everybody else is doing this. So you'll start comparing. You'll start looking around. And you'll think, well, I'm okay because everybody else is doing this. The people fail to see as everybody else is going to hell. It's getting darker and darker. And that's no excuse to be doing something because everybody else is doing it, because the Broadway leads to hell. It means everybody's on that path as a whole. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break here.